This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Felix Leit of CBS News. He is in Russian Federation traveling. He is in part of Russia called the Black Earth, Tambov. Felix, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining the Black Earth. And you tell me it actually is black to see. This is our agricultural heartland. What does Black Earth look like or feel like? Is it the same as other soil?
Well, yeah, very sort of the land, as you say, there's a big clue in the name, as it were. The land is sort of a really striking, pitchy sort of dark color, which is extraordinary. And as you say, it's very much the agricultural heartland of Russia. It's very sort of idyllic and bucolic in that way, and it's very much the sort of the breadbasket. It's some of the most fertile land in Europe. It's sort of very much the land where the Eastern Front of the Second World War was fought as well. So it's sort of in this historic heartland.
The Russian news, however, is not positive about the virus. I read from the Moscow Times, your newspaper, Felix. Russia marks highest ever COVID-19 death for second day in a row. I take it this is a product of what we talked last week. Inadequate numbers vaccinated. And is there also a reluctance to vaccinate, or is this a shortage of the Sputnik?
It's very much a question of reluctance, I think. What we have seen in these sort of last few weeks is that I think the willingness to vaccinate has increased. The government's been doing things like, forcing certain professions to vaccinate on pain of being fired, and making restaurants for the vaccinated only. That has, I think, really increased the sort of anecdotal willingness to get vaccinated to the point where there have been some isolated local shortages. But I think the essence here is that Russia is a very, very country, very, very skeptical of vaccination in general. We have very high levels of, sort of opinion for months and months and months now, years even, of sort of Russians coming out and saying in opinion polls, a majority of Russians, that they don't want to vaccinate, that they don't see it as necessary, or even sort of buying into sort of, conspiratorial ideas about the virus, thinking that it's some kind of, man-made bioweapon. These opinions are incredibly widely held in Russia, astonishingly so. And I think that particular chicken is really coming home to roost right now. There's a real difficulty to persuade people to vaccinate. And, as it stands, 18 months into this pandemic, and we're still seeing record deaths.
Felix, the way it's hard to understand other cultures, and I don't think we can make the leap, but you come from a highly vaccinated country, Great Britain.
Yes.
I come from a highly vaccinated country, the U.S. So the puzzle here is it doubts about the efficacy of the virus, or is it this other thing, which I've learned is called inshallah? You whatever God wills will happen. Is inshallah in Russia in some form?
Well, I wouldn't call it inshallah. So I would say it's essentially two sort of, My working theory is that there are two sort of things going on here. The first is that Russia has historically been a country where conditions have dictated that life has been cheap, right? 26 million people died in World War II in Russia. You had terrible poverty and terrible suffering in the 1990s during and after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And I think this sort of has numbed people to the to something like coronavirus, which is bad, but people see that it's not killing, those kind of numbers, and it's seen as a lesser threat. So I think people don't see that as something sort of urgent to act against. But I think also there's a very profound distrust, not just of sort of vaccines, but of governments, of institutions, that is very prevalent in Russia. And this, I suspect, is to some extent the hangover of the Soviet Union. People were taught for 70 years that Marxism, Leninism was the revealed truth of human history, of humanity. And it turned out that that was not in fact true, and that everything had been built on a sort of lies and mistakes. And I think that really does impact on people's psychology. And I think you see that playing out here. People are just more skeptical of what you tell them, I think.
There are mandates in Moscow. I've seen the photographs in your newspaper where you need to show that you've been vaccinated in order to enter certain institutions. Is that widespread in Russia? Do you see the same mandates in Tambov, for example, traveling?
You do not so far, because I think Moscow is essentially trialing this. But what you do see is more and more regions are bringing in sort of more and more sort of mandates for certain professions to be vaccinated. So I think more or less every region is requiring students to be vaccinated before they begin studies in September, for instance, doctors, teachers, these kind of things. And I imagine that over time, these sort of requirements will be widened. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this in future, but at the moment it's strictly a Moscow thing, because Moscow has always been the center of the pandemic in Russia. It's always been the worst affected area, and it's where sort of it'll be, the battle will be fought and won, if you like.
Two Cold War stories simultaneously. Back to the future. One, Russia's spokesperson within these last days warned outside interference in Cuba, in Havana. The protests continue against the remains of the Castro elite. At the same time, Russia's holding military drills in Tajikistan, bordering Afghanistan, because of its concern of the Taliban offensive. Are these stories getting big play in Russian media? Are these on the television, Felix?
Well, the Taliban certainly is, and largely because the Taliban actually sent a delegation to hold negotiations with the Russians last week. They were in Moscow, sort of negotiating with Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister. And so this, I think, is a story that really does resonate. You know, the sort of, we spoke about this maybe last week or the week before, that the sort of, that generation of men who went through the sort of the meat grinder of Afghanistan, the Soviet war there, is, you know, an influential and important part of society. And I think that Afghanistan, as a result, commands a certain kind of attention that this is sort of really, seeing sort of played out here. So the Afghanistan story is hugely significant, and I think that it is likely to be an enormously important one in the future if Russia gets sucked into any kind of confrontation in Tajikistan, where I know people are extremely worried about the Taliban's resurgence. In Cuba, I wouldn't say so much. There's a degree of sort of interest in this, and there's a degree of sort of play, but I think Cuba is almost, for the Russians, almost something of a little embarrassing relic. It's something that sort of, a country they were obviously aligned to for a very long time, but a very long time ago as well. And I'm not sure that the Russian government will invest in preserving the Castro's or the Castro regime if it comes to that. Whereas they did with, of course, with Assad, they have involvement in Myanmar, they support various sort of authoritarian regimes around the world, they've got an involvement in Venezuela, of course. I'm not sure Cuba is quite on that level, but I may be surprised, and we'll see how that sort of plays out going forward. I wouldn't be surprised to see Russia involvement there.
A new Cold War story is ransomware, and your newspaper very clearly identifies the three known bad actors that the U.S. alleges are linked to the Kremlin. DarkSide, Revel, R-E capitalized, and then V-I-L, and Nobelium.
Yep.
At this point, in Moscow, is this a big story, cyber pranks, cyber ransomware, cyber threat? Does that talked about that somehow Russia is punching back but can't be caught?
Well, yes and no, I think. It was certainly a big story around the time of the Biden summit around a month ago when I believe the Russia and the U.S. came to a sort of provisional agreement to limit sort of ransomware actions. What I am curious about is if these reports are true and that one of these ransomware groups has simply vanished from the web, one of these ransomware groups that's alleged to be linked to the Russian state, then that, at this point, that would be an extraordinary coup for the American side, I think, if they've persuaded the Russians to sort of reach some kind of agreement there. That has been reported quite a lot, that one of these sort of state-linked groups has vanished from their presence online has just disappeared. And if that is a result of the sort of the Biden call to Putin, where he apparently demanded that Putin sort of rein in Russian ransomware attacks, then that is a fascinating move, and that's a very indicative one, because it does suggest that perhaps the positive outcome of the Geneva conference is a little bit is rather actually enduring, and that would obviously be a good outcome for everyone, I think.
Finally, Felix, we just have 30 seconds. It's summertime in Russia. Are the Russians on holiday? Are they off to their dachas? Are they on the beach? Can you tell?
Yes, I think they are. It's very, very hot here right now. It's a historic heat wave in Moscow. It's something like 33 Celsius, which I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. You'll excuse
me. It's hot.
And everyone's sort of abandoning the city. So I think, yeah, the definite summer vibes here, definite sort of summer atmosphere going on.
Not quite Beach Boy time, but still, is holiday. Felix Leit, CBS News, Moscow Times. He's in Tambov, the Black Earth. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.